All right. Good morning again, everybody. Good to see you. And welcome to our third week in our Living in Freedom series. Man, this has just been a very, very powerful time for us as a church. Can't think of a better way for us to start off a new year than getting free. Amen, everybody. And so it's just been good. And want to just real quick do a let you know about this, because I haven't did this for quite a while, but obviously, every week we do message notes, you know that, and they're hole-punched real nice for you, try to make it good, but here's part of the purpose, is because we have three ring binders that are out there in the lobby area in the hub on your way out. They are free to you, all right? You paid for it, so these are yours, all right? And so if you want one, make sure you grab one, and it's just kind of cool to kind of collect these through the year, and that way at the end of the year, you can kind of just take a look and see everything that you've learned. And so I just want you to know those are available out there to you. Just haven't talked about them in quite some time, so just grab you one, all right? Just have at it. It's like being at a family barbecue. Just get what you want, all right? And so get you one on the way out, all right, everybody? And before I get into the message, I want to just share something with you, just to kind of really just update you on something. I had the honor this past week of spending some time with one of our ministry partners in Israel, Voice of Judah, in Israel, Pastor Israel Poktar, and he is, man, just doing some amazing things right there, and there in the nation of Israel, and just had some time. He came over to the offices, and he's actually flew back out, I think, Thursday back to Israel, but man, the gospel of Jesus is going in Israel, and what a lot of people don't realize, I think they just assume a lot of it's happening, and the reality is there's a lot of persecution that is taking place in this nation, more than I ever realized after spending some good quality time with him. And so he has helped to start 9 churches. So they've opened up 9 churches there in Israel and Messianic Christians, and just seeing a move of God. 80% of everybody in these congregations in these 9 churches are all newly saved. Isn't that awesome? And so there's a real move of God that's taking place in the midst of a lot of religious persecution that's happening there. And so one of the churches he was sharing with us that they have founded and pastored is actually 30 miles from Gaza. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what's happening there, but in Gaza, it is a very high, intense time. Violent has been for years, really. Man, just missiles, war, and no Christian really sets foot there. Any Christians that have usually been persecuted and have encountered death or the loss of limbs, even being stoned to death, that sort of thing. So it's very intense, and he just continued to ask for prayer, but wanted to make sure today I thank you all just for your support. And so a portion of your giving is going to helping this amazing ministry in Israel and seeing God move in an amazing way. And also through the partners of other churches, they are going to be the first Christian Messianic ministry to have their own building in the nation of Israel. That's a big deal, everybody. And so it's going to help continue to further the gospel, train up more people, and also provide a place for those that many, many families, you can imagine, in poverty. So just wanted to share that with you, that a move of God is taking place. And we're talking about a future trip there, too, and wanting to take a team to Israel. Man, it's been on my bucket list. So I said, amen, Pastor, we got to pray. I don't need to pray about it. I want to go. And so we got to figure that out. And so take a team to go minister to those churches, but just also to experience, just Israel and obviously the Holy Land kind of experience. So anyways, just wanted to share that with you all. You're part of that. And so we just thank God for what's happening in Israel. So thank you, Elevate City, for your guys' faithfulness and generosity. Amen, everybody. Isn't that awesome? People are being saved at a rapid pace. So much more I could share with you. I just do not have the time. So Living in Freedom, this series is just all about our hope and our prayer is that this is a different life in this year that you will be living like never before, because for some, as we have gotten into this series, it almost feels like as we start a brand new year, we've noticed that maybe we have some of the same things on our resolution list that maybe we had in years past or the previous year. And so, you know, our hope and prayer is that this becomes the year that God really begins to set us on the direction and the course that he wants for us to move into his plan and his purpose. And so we are in the middle of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Actually, we're tailing it right here at the end. This is the last full week of our time of prayer and fasting, and it has just been awesome around here. And just hearing and different ones of you writing in and connection cards that we've been praying for. Just, I want to just report to you, God is moving in this place, and it's awesome to see. We've been seeing testimonies and just the praise reports just in a few weeks. And I'm just thinking, man, if God's already moving like this, I can't wait to see what 2017 is going to look like. Amen. And so it's going to be powerful. It's going to be awesome. So I just want to encourage you. You got a week left. Come on, we can do this, right, everybody? I know 21 days seems long, but man, we're doing it. And we were in this last week, so it's going to be good, and we're excited about that. Also, is our Saturday morning time of prayer. Of course, that's not just for this time of prayer and fasting. Every Saturday, right here at church, 9 a.m. to 10, start on time, end on time, and we're praying. We're praying for you. We're praying for these services, and then also for all of the prayer requests. And man, no exaggeration, literally this whole stage area, these steps were full of just connection cards through three services, and people just believe in God for miracles, believe in God for freedom and breakthrough. So we're just so thankful, and it's an honor to pray. I just want you guys to know that. And so kids are coming. Kids are having a blast as well, and I just want to encourage that as well. What a great thing to get your kids around an atmosphere of prayer. I know my kids enjoy being here with us at prayer, and our middle son, Judah, he's 2 going on 12, and Lord have mercy. But he loves to help his mom and I pray, especially on Saturday morning prayer. And he did this yesterday. Can I just have a dad moment just for a minute, man? Just for a minute. It was so precious, you guys. So we're praying, and I'm sitting a couple rows here, and Bethany's in the back with Braxton and Ashton and Judah. Judah just takes charge. That's just who he is, all right? Kind of hence his name, I guess, all right? And so he just comes up, and he grabs about 3 or 4 and makes sure mom's got some, makes sure dad's got some. We're praying over him. And then after he sees us kind of put them back, well, he makes sure we're not done praying yet. He goes out and grabs some more, stands right here, looks at mom, looks at me, and just kind of gives one of these, you know, and so it was awesome, just blessed me. And but he prays with us for the cards. So I just want you to know, my 2-year-old's also praying for you, all right, everybody? I think it's awesome. So anyways, we want to encourage you, bring your kids. It's been good, and we have different leaders that lead it, and it's just been a joy to receive from our different leaders as well. John chapter 8, want to move here, verse 31. It's been our theme verse scripture for the series. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, again, Jesus talking to believers, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth. Here's the second part of the lesson here, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, they said, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? They're saying, Jesus, we're Christians. I mean, how are you saying this? Because in the first truth that we learned in this series, don't forget this, because this is important, that we can't be free unless we first believe that we can be in bondage to something. All right, it's so important that we remember that, all right? And so Jesus replied back, he said, very truly, I tell you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. You read this last part with me. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom indeed. Week 1, we talked on really just the subject of just that we are Christians. All right, and when we come into a relationship with God and filled with God's Spirit and His power, but in the journey that a lot of times that we realize that, yeah, we're Christians, but we got some flesh on us. Right, everybody? And so, and what tends to happen in the battle that happens is that we've got to be careful of. And it's why I love coming into a new year. I love going into a time of fasting. It's because it does give us an opportunity to refocus and prioritize of what's important. But realizing that sometimes we get less connected to God and more connected to the world. And so the battle is that we are triune beings, spirit, soul, and body. And there's a war that's constantly going on with you and I, and one of those wants to be in charge. And one of those is in charge. And we talked in that week that whatever one you're feeding the most is in charge. And so our hope and our prayer is that the Spirit of God, that part of you, is taking the lead, is in charge. Amen. And then last week we talked really about the battle of the mind and begin to understand that there really is an enemy. There really is a devil. There really is spiritual warfare that happens, and that we as God's people must be alert to understanding that this is a reality for every single one of us, but that it's God's desire that the truth set us free, and it's God's desire that the cycles or maybe, you know, the addictions and the bondages in our life, that it is the desire of God to see freedom come to our lives in Jesus' name, that we really can live a life of freedom. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 26, we read this last week, and this is really just an example of an example of really how we can come under the influence of the enemy if we're not careful. It says this, in your anger, do not sin. Meaning God realizes that there'll be times that we'll be angry, but God's saying, hey, I don't want you to take it further than that. And it goes on to say, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, resolve the conflict, resolve the problem. This has been a verse for Bethany and I before and after we've got married, that there's been long coffee nights, all right? And that we're going to make sure that we take care of any problem or conflict that arises, all right? And so that's what God's saying, because if we don't, then we open up a door. We give the enemy an opportunity, all right? And it goes on to say, and he who has been stealing must steal no longer. So that's why we can give him no place, handle the conflict. Joel 2:9 says, they rush upon the city, they run along the wall, they climb into the houses like thieves, and they enter through the windows. And so sometimes what happens, and sometimes I think we just don't realize this, that there's a door, even doors that we open up to the enemy. And we give him legal right or permission by these doors being opened up to come into our life and to try and influence. I'm going to kind of show you what I mean here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, this is out of the Message Bible. I love the way this says it. You can read it in the NIV, and it reads it a little bit different, but I loved how this said it. It said, so if you forgive him, I forgive him. Don't think I'm carrying around a list of personal grudges. The fact is that I'm joining in with your forgiveness. As Christ is with us, guiding us, after all, we don't want to unwittingly, or that word could be unknowingly, give Satan an opportunity for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. Many times what happens is that we are just unaware. We're unaware of his schemes, of his plans. How many, when you go to bed at night, like to close the door? How many like to close the door? Yeah. How many like the door open? How many like me if you just don't even care? All right. Just, I get that bad. I'm just ready to sleep. You know, I'm ready to go to St. Mattress of the Springs and just sleep. You know what I mean? That was a corny preacher joke. All right. Anyways, meeting with Pastor Sheets. I could go on. All right. Anyways. Oh, I know. Corny. Pray for me. All right. But what happens is a lot of times is we go to bed, but we leave the door open to the enemy. And that happens, and we give him opportunity. And so what are the doors? And one of the things that I talked to you guys about last week in this message, and if you weren't here, just kind of reiterate this, that there is absolutely nothing that the enemy is creative with. He cannot be creative. What he does is seek to pervert everything God has created. God is the only creative one. Amen? And so we talked about that he really is a predictable enemy. The Bible says that his native language is lies. That's all his greatest weapon against you and me are his lies. And so we learned that last week he is not creative. And I'm going to show you here today in really kind of one of three areas how he will always work to try to attack in these areas in our life. He is a predictable enemy. Predictable. There's nothing new about him, all right? And so the Bible says in 1 John, three big doors, because these are doors that if they're open, and my prayer today is as the Holy Spirit is talking to us, that if we find, man, I think this door might be open, that today we begin to close the door to the enemy, amen? So it says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Check this out, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are going to pass away. It's not talking about a physical death, but it is talking about the killing of dreams, the killing of vision. It's talking about the killing of even your marriage or your family or your joy in your life. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Whoever figures out these doors and closes them in are going to live forever. And so this is really just kind of the journey. We've been talking about this, and I've just invited you on this journey in this year with me, that we go on this journey together over the next few months as well. I just feel some strategic things. I feel like God wants to build in these first couple months in our church and in our lives. And so we're going on a journey, and God has something for us. But one of the things that I want to do today is, man, I want to expose the enemy for who he is. I want to expose the tactics that he tries to use and the predictability that he really is, because there's nothing new. He is not creative. And so I want to expose the enemy today in Jesus' name. So let's look, we're taking these points from this verse. First of all, is the lust of the flesh, which represent our passions. Passions, in other words, means your appetite, that you are driven by feelings. And being driven by your feelings or making decisions by your feelings or your emotions will oftentimes get you in a lot of trouble. I know that anytime I've made decisions based on a feeling and not in tune with the Holy Spirit and what God wants has always gotten me in trouble. Right? And so we're in a place that we have to understand that this is part of the working of the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes, dealing with kind of our possessions. It's kind of that I want it all and I want it now type of mentality. It's the appetite that tries to lie, or the spirit that tries to lie to you and I, telling us it's things that's going to make us happy. And here's the truth, everybody, that only God, everybody say God. It's only God that can fulfill you and bring you and I the joy that we need in our life. Amen, church? And then the third thing is the pride of life. The pride of life, and that is our position. And that is simply when we struggle with this pride issue, we get frustrated and we think, well, I'm just not in the right place positionally, or we think too much of ourselves. And it's a true sign of not honoring God. And so it's interesting because God says, not only do I not like it, but I'll oppose it. The Bible says, and I believe it's James 4:6, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Can I just give you some good pastoral counsel this morning? You don't want God opposing you. You don't want to be on that side, all right, everybody? We want to be on the side of grace, amen, church? And so it's important that we understand that. And so Genesis 3:6, I want to show you some other examples outside of this that I think is so important for us to see that the enemy's predictable. Now, there's different stories I want to show you here in just a few minutes. I'm going to put this together. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that you'll see the enemy works the same way in these three areas, all right? He's predictable. Remember that, all right? There's nothing new. The Bible says in Genesis 3:6, right there in the Garden of Eden, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, notice that, and then pleasing to the eye, notice that, and then also desirable for gaining wisdom, that's important as well. There's the three things. She took some and ate it. Good for food, and leave that up there, represents passions, all right? There's the lust part in action. Pleasing to the eye is the possessions part, and then desirable for gaining wisdom is the prideful part, or seeking after position. Remember, the serpent said to them, hey, if you want to be like God, you need to eat this fruit. That was the lie that the serpent told them in the Garden of Eden. Then Jesus even was in this same moment in the temptation with Satan himself in Matthew chapter 4. A couple of verses. Verse 3 says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Tell these stones and make them some Krispy Kreme donuts in 2017. All right, this is kind of the thinking there. All right, verse 5 and 6 says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the high point of the temple. And it said this, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Just notice the arrogance and the cockiness of this, how the enemy is talking to Jesus. And in verse 8 and 9, it says again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Boy, I think this is interesting. And all this, he said, I will give you. He said, if, Satan talking to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me. Yeah, right. And so I want to point out the first few things in these verses. That moment of when he said, turn this bread to stones, represents the lust here, lust of passions. And there's just this horrible theology that God just, man, he just wants us happy. And we live in a culture, unfortunately, that just kind of teaches that, you know, if it makes you happy, just do it. You know, whatever makes you happy, man, do that. If it feels good, do it, you know. And it's such a lie, because if I did everything I felt, I wouldn't be a pastor today. All right, everybody, if I did everything I felt, I would not be up here today. I'm just being honest with you, all right? And so it's important that we understand this. And it's important that we understand that God doesn't want us happy. He wants us holy. He wants us to be like him, Christ-like. And so I think oftentimes what we think makes us happy can be the very thing that is destroying our life. Throw yourself down there. There's the next part of the verse there in Matthew. Just represents position, represents pride and showing off. And then Satan went on to say, it's all this I will give you. All this I will give you if you'll bow down and worship, which represents possession. And the enemy, again, is not creative. And so there's three things or three doors where he's trying to come in. And so I think if we're going to help any of us in this journey, we've got to be awakened to the understanding of these things in our lives so that we know how to not just battle, but know that we are victorious and how we can overcome in Jesus' name. And so this is part of our heart that we want to show you. But I want to show you these other three things that are in the Old Testament and illustrate this as well. Because if you read in the Old Testament part of the Bible, there were really three foreign pagan gods. And guess how many there were? Three. All right, wasn't a trick question, all right? There's just three. Again, he's not creative. And the first pagan god was the god of Asherah. The god of Asherah represented passions. And what they would do in that time is put up Asherah poles, all right? And this was the god of fertility and lust. They would fulfill the worship of Asherah in the temple by prostitution. And so the Asherah pole represents exactly what you think it does, and that's all I'll say on that, all right? The second one is the god of Mammon. All right, as a pagan god as well that represents possessions. Remember, Jesus actually talked on this. He said, you cannot serve both God and money. So it's a spiritual demon called Mammon. And then there's a third one, and that was the god of Baal, which represents pride, represents the spiritual demon or spirit of pride and of position. It's the god of power and the god of human attainment, all right? And so these are three things. Again, three things that you constantly see the enemy doing over and over again from the beginning of time till even right here where we're at in 2017. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are doors that the enemy wants us to keep open in our lives. But I'm believing in Jesus' name that today that we're going to close some doors in Jesus' name. And we're going to get radical with our decisions and refusing to not just talk about freedom, but for real living in it, in Jesus' name. And the greatest challenge I've been given to you is not between you and me. It's not even a message, everybody. It's between your heart and God. The greatest growth that is ever going to be produced in you is not just by a message or a song that is sung, but it's by your personal devotion to the Lord. And so my heart and my encouragement to you, let us not just talk about it, but man, let's get about God's business, get before his throne, and become more and more like Jesus. That's where we're going to go today, all right? And so I'm going to help give you some things. And you're going to have an opportunity by the end of this service to give God some praise, because I'm telling you, God is speaking, God is doing things, and we just have got to hear, and this has been my prayer through this fast, God, let us hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let us hear clearly what you're saying to us. Let's remove whatever distractions there are in Jesus' name, and let's go after this in the name of the Lord. So let's close the door. Everybody say, let's close the door. Look at the person next to you and say, let's close the door. Here's how you close the first door. And this is the antidote to the lust of the flesh, and that is integrity. Everybody say integrity. Man, I love this. Integrity closes the door. The integrity comes from the word integer. It's actually a math term or a math term word that is used that means full, all right? And it's a unit of one in math. Very interesting, I think. Integrity, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to be perfect, all right? But a person of integrity has made a decision in their life. They've made a decision that I'm not going to come to church and wear one mask. I'm not going to go to the hunting club and wear another mask. I'm not going to go to the job and then wear another mask. I'm not going to try to be a bunch of different people. But a person of integrity says comes to the grips and says, you know what? I've got some issues in my life, and I want to take off this mask because I want to be whole. And I don't want to be who I've been. I want to be who God wants me to be. And I want to be everything that God has. Because here's what integrity is. You may want to write this down, not in your notes. Integrity is not being perfect. Integrity is being honest. It's being honest. It's being honest about where we're at, honest about what's happening in our life or what's not happening in our life. Here's what I know. Let me say it this way, because I feel like this might help. Last week, I shared with you, for those that hadn't heard, part of my testimony growing up. I was molested as a young boy and multiple times. And then it spiraled me down a road of pornography, which was awful. And I had to come to the point and realize there was a door open in my life. And I realized I cannot close this door by myself. That it's going to take the power of God. And it's going to take some people that I can, listen, get honest with and take off my mask with and get in a small group and say, I got some stuff I've got to work through and I want to come out of this thing in Jesus' name. Because you cannot overcome lust or whatever else that you might be battling today by yourself. The enemy will try to isolate you to get you to believe that you can overcome it by yourself. Say, well, what will people think? And those are lies of the enemy. I'm just trying to get you to see in your spirit today, don't allow the enemy to overcome or be the overcoming dominant voice in your life. Let the word of God prevail in your life. Amen, everybody? It's being honest. Proverbs 5. This is a great verse. I encourage every man, every woman to read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. It'll protect you. It'll protect even where you're at now, whether you're single or you're married. But it talks about the adulteress. And the Bible says, so now my sons, notice this, Solomon is putting a real emphasis here. He's getting real personal. He said, y'all, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you because this is incredibly important. He said, never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Notice this, don't go near to what? The door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and you will lose to merciless people. And all you have achieved, strangers will consume your wealth and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. There's a dear friend of ours some years ago, that many years ago before we moved to Fort Wayne, that was close to our family and incredible family. Great wife, 5 beautiful kids, and tried to be honest with him. And he wanted accountability, wanted the help, but didn't really want it. Talked about it, but didn't really want it when the accountability came. So he asked, man, I want you all to get in kind of my stuff. And so a few of my pastor friends that I know and were helping out with it. And I'll never forget, too, and it just broke my heart because you wanted it, but you didn't want it. Because when the truth came, you didn't want to heed it. And what happened was, you know, he was just kind of a flirt by nature. And we just kind of, brother, you can't do that with you married, brother. Let's not act that way. And so, you know, just moments tried to help bring some correction and just kind of that deflect, I'm just kidding. It's just my personality. Brother, listen, that's gonna get you in trouble. It's going to get you down a road that's going to get you in trouble. It's fine. We know. Every excuse. And so finally one day we got a phone call and it was horrible. And that door that was open became a door that was widened and he ended up pursuing someone outside of his marriage and lost everything. He lost his family, his 5 beautiful kids, the business that he owned, gone. I'm telling you, sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay. And you don't want to go down that road. And so here's what I'm saying, church, is thank God for redemption and his love and his grace and forgiveness that can rebuild a person. It took a lot of years for him to be rebuilt. But don't go down that road. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, church. Amen? So let's not give a place to the enemy. I'm just trying to help. That's all I'm trying to do is trying to pastor. You, Romans 6 says this, love how this verse says it. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way that you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Boy, what a great word. I just hung on that line this week. Man, those little errands. All right, throw yourselves wholeheartedly to God. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly into this next semester of small groups and watch what God will do. Full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. Amen. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. Here's our verse for our series right here. You're living in the freedom of God. Everybody say, I can be free. Come on, one more time, church. I can be free. So jot this kind of sub point down, that living in freedom is it's saying yes to God and his word and what he desires, and it's saying no to the enemy and his plan. Here's the second thing that's going to shut the door, close the door to possessions, and that's generosity. The devil wants you to get. God wants you to give. All right? Notice the two thoughts there, all right? God is looking, when it comes to generosity and giving, it's not so much about the amount, it's about the heart. God wants your heart. All right? Money reveals, I'm telling you, where your heart's at. Giving him the first and the best. I shared in this a few months ago this scripture. I want to read it again because I think it gives a great example of what we're talking about. Genesis 4. It says, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. But I want you to know this. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruits. So notice it wasn't really a priority, but it was more when it was convenient for Cain, he brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering. Notice Abel's offering, though, fat portions from some of the firstborn. Everybody say the firstborn. Because notice that's priority. That's showing priority. First things of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain, he got upset. He's like, man, Lord, what's up? Why wasn't mine good enough? You know, why his face was downcast, the Bible said, and look what the Lord said to Cain. He said, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Look at this wisdom right here. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, check it out. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. You know, one of the best ways to close the door to that desire, that the possessions thing, is your giving, is your generosity to the Lord. Listen, I just want you to relax. We're not taking any special offerings. This is not anything for us. This is completely for you, what we're trying to get to you today, is understanding this is a way that we keep the door closed to the enemy, all right? And if you aren't a tither and not faithfully giving, there's a door that can be open. It's a principle. Remember, 10, that word tithe means test. 10, the number 10, it means test. So tithe is a test, and God wants us to know where he places that in our life. In Malachi chapter 3, check this out. The other part of this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. He said, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room to even enough to receive it. All right? The blessing's cool. Check this out, though, as we're faithful to what God has called us to. He said, but I will also do something else. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Rebuke the enemy so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. I'm just telling you this principle works. I've never met an ex-tither in my life. And I'm just telling you, if you don't take my word for it, talk to people that do. I'm telling you, they'll tell you and they will encourage you with it. And so even as a church, we practice this. We give the first. Trust me, that's what we do. In the office, we give the first of everything to the Lord. And that's why as a church, we sow into ministries, organizations in our city, in our nation, and international. All right, we believe in it. We understand it. It's important. Here's the third thing. And this is the antidote to pride, and that is humility. Man, I love this. It was once said by someone, he said that a man on his face can never fall from that position. Go low. Go low. Go low. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not something that after church today you can go to Walmart and go through the line and pick it up and take it out. You can't go to Best Buy today and pick it up, right? Humility, the Bible says, wear it. Clothe yourself, the Bible says, with humility. Wear it. Wear it. And so humility only comes by a close walk with God. Because people of humility, and this is something I think we all can continue to grow in Jesus' name, because we're always tested with this, preferring our others before ourselves, right? But this is something that is so important, and it's important to God, because humility, it's not only lifestyle in your walk, but can I tell you where humility is also found? In your worship. Humility is absolutely in your worship. And I'm not trying to offend anybody when I say this. I just want you to know my heart. You know, and over the years of ministry, I've just had this said to me, that we just kind of got these hands in pocket kind of worship. And I've had some say, well, Pastor, it's just not my personality. It's just not my style, Pastor. Well, I didn't think worship was about you. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The Bible says, the scripture tells us that he loves it, that all men should pray and lift up holy hands. Amen, everybody? And so I don't wait for a feeling to, ooh, hit me, then I'm going to raise my hands. All right? I'm responding to God because I'm honoring him. Listen to me. His word says clap, I'm going to clap. His word says jump, I'll jump. But I'm telling you, it does say clap. God talks about raising hands. So you know what? I'm going to get my praise on and give him the praise because it's not about me. It's not about what I want. And here's what I know, that low-key conservative hands in pocket worship does nothing but protect our egos. And can I just preach just for a minute? Because this is helpful for us, and I'm just trying to help you. Please hear my heart. That I'm a sports fanatic. I love my Hoosiers. They are struggling and need a lot of prayer right now. But Lord have mercy, and the Colts. I don't know what is going on in the state of Indiana with our sports, but we need a move of God in Jesus' name. We need to pray for that. All right. But here's what I know. Listen to my heart on this. I'm not going to give my favorite sports team more praise than my God. Amen, everybody? And so when I come up in church, you see me clapping, lifting these bad boys, it's because he said to do it. So if he said to do it, I'm going to honor him. I'm going to give him the praise. Yeah, I might be a little crazy, but crazy for Jesus, everybody, because I wouldn't have woke up this morning had it not been for Jesus. Your next breath that you breathe, for about 30 seconds, can we put these bad boys together? Can we give Jesus some praise? Can we give him the worship? Because I'm telling you, he deserves it. He's awesome. He's powerful. I'm telling you, every breath that we have is a breath that God has granted us with. We need to bless him. We need to worship him. We honor you, God. We bless you, God. You're awesome in this place, and we worship you. Worship you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, we honor you today, God. Honor you, honor you. Man, I pray you get it. Get it, get it, get it, get it. Get in your spirit. Let me tell you something. That right there is what he loves. And he loves it. He loves it. Look at this verse in Revelation. It says, what he opens. He said, nobody can shut it. Nobody can close it. Can I say something? When God gets in your door business, thank God for it. Because guess what? When God gets all up in your door business, he's preparing something awesome. Get ready. Get ready, because he's preparing something ahead. So if he's all up in your door business right now, welcome him, all right? Goes on to say, I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut, and I know that you have little strength. See, God knows exactly where we're at. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Here's my prayer, last verse. Throw it up there, guys. John 3:30. This is the prayer. Would you read this with me? Jesus must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Boy, y'all sound good. One more time. Jesus must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. It's a great time to pray. Come on, will you bow your heads? Father, that's our prayer. Right where you're at, listen to me. Will you just say this? Say, God, speak to me. Come on, just ask him. Talk to him for a minute. Don't worry about the clock right now. Just focus on him here. This is a moment, I'm just telling you. Just say, God, speak to me. Come on, right here in the midst of this service. Come on, 10 a.m. service. Talk to him. God, speak to me. We just welcome you, God. Just talk to us. Just declare today that we're closing doors in our life. Anything that tries to resist or oppose your plan in our life, in our church, has got to go in Jesus' name. And we just serve the enemy notice that Satan, you have no power, you have no authority. And Father, we thank you today for your word, that no weapon formed against us will prosper in the name of Jesus. Father, speak to us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now over every single person Father, you know where every one of us are at, and we are desperate. Hear our heart and our cry this morning, oh God, that it not just be a Sunday thing, but God, this is something I pray, a personal devotion that we live out Monday through Saturday as well. We thank you for your grace. God, we're not going to be proud. It's not going to be who we are. We're going to be a people of integrity. We're going to be a generous people and a people that chooses to wear humility. And I just thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that I know your ministry. And we just surrender. All he's looking for is just your surrender. Just surrender it all to him today. God, we surrender. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We surrender to you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, this is a great time. If you don't, listen, have a relationship with the Lord, I'm going to give you an opportunity right here. What a great opportunity to give your life to Jesus. And in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, but raise it boldly. Because Jesus was unashamed when he went to that cross for you and I. So in just a moment, if you're in a place and you say, man, I need Jesus, he's not first in my life, he's not Lord of all, you need to make him Lord of all today. If you're going to experience freedom in its fullest, you cannot do it without Christ. So with every head bowed and all eyes closed for this moment, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to be real honest and real bold. You say, man, I need to place Christ first and at the center in my life. If that's you, in the count of three, just lift your hand. One, two, three. All over this place. Say, man, that's me. That's me. Yes, 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 yes. Got you. Got you. Got you. Yep, got you. In the back. Yep, got you both. Awesome. Cool. Praise God. Praise God. God. And just pray. Pray something like this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you everything. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me, God, of my sins. I thank you that I can live in freedom. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this time. Lord, I know you've, Lord, I believe and I know, God, you're speaking and have spoken. So, God, we thank you today for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that is in this house. And God, what we hear, what we feel goes with us. We thank you for the word of the Lord that is alive and well. And we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just give Jesus praise, everybody? Can we do it? I mean, from your heart. Come on, from your heart. From your heart. We bless you, God.